You all probably picked up a copy of the bulletin when you came in. There are a bunch of announcements in there that I encourage you to look through. Some of them I'd like to highlight are, if you are one of the Common Cup dinners are going to be starting up here pretty soon, and you know that it takes a team of people who are able to in order to make the Common Cup dinners happen. If you're one of those volunteers, we're going to have a kind of a preview time to get together for a carry-in dinner on this Wednesday. And then not this week, but the week after that, there's going to be a couple things happening. One is there's going to be a dinner, which is a fundraiser to support Imagine No Malaria. That's a week from Wednesday, which is September 2nd. And then a week from Saturday, there's going to be a walk and roll event. So if you're interested in walking or skating or riding or, I already said walking, just about anything that you can imagine to get from point A to point B, you can do it as a way of raising money for Imagine No Malaria, and that'll be a week from Saturday. So those are coming up. I guess we set the seats up so that we're ready for this activity that's going to happen later, right? Was that intentional or just happened to work that way?
The parting of the Red Sea.
The parting of the Red Sea. But we've got a really fun activity that's going to be coming up, and in order to do that, we're going to need a couple of volunteers, and you're going to need to be paying attention for the next couple of minutes. So I'm going to start to prepare the ground with a reading from the book of Ephesians, the end of the book, the last chapter, from the sixth chapter. Apostle Paul here is writing, he says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and his powerful strength. Put on God's armor so that you can make a stand against the tricks of the devil. We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, forces of cosmic darkness, and spiritual powers of evil in the heavens. Therefore, pick up the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground on that evil day, and after you have done everything possible, to still stand. So stand with the belt of truth around your waist and justice as your breastplate. And put shoes on your feet so that you're ready to spread the good news of peace. Above all, carry the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Offer prayers and petitions in the Spirit all the time. Stay alert by hanging in there and praying for all believers. As for me, pray that when I open my mouth, I'll get a message that confidently makes the secret plan of the gospel known. I'm an ambassador in chains for the sake of the gospel. Pray so that the Lord will give me confidence to say what I have to say." Here ends this reading from the book of Ephesians. One of the questions that we all have to answer every morning is, what am I going to wear today? We have to decide what we're going to put on. And what we're going to wear depends a little bit on what we're going to do that day, right? Is that fair to say? So if you're going to go swimming one day, is it more appropriate to wear a swimsuit or a pair of jeans? Probably better go swimming in a swimsuit, right? A pair of jeans probably wouldn't be a very good idea. If you're going to go to a wedding, is it more appropriate, although I know that the dress code is changing all the time, kind of depends on who's getting married, is it more appropriate to wear a t-shirt or a shirt and tie? Probably for a wedding, more appropriate most of the time to wear a tie. If you're going to go for a walk out in the park, you got nothing else to do, so you decided to go for a walk in the park. Is it a better idea to wear a pair of shorts and be comfortable or to wear a suit? It's probably you're going to wear the shorts. Is Edgar Allan Poe a name that you're familiar with? Was a poet who lived in the early 1800s, wrote, among other things, a poem called The Raven that starts out, "Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, when I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping of someone gently rapping at my chamber door." Are these kind of familiar words to you? I know them because they're at the very beginning of a song that the Moody Blues played, and then they go into the song. The story is that early in life, he knew he wanted to be a poet. He was a very creative spirit, but had a hard time paying the bills. And so he decided in order to pay the bills, he'd go into the military. His family came, he came from a very wealthy family and he'd done very well in school. And so he managed to get himself, or they managed to get him into West Point. Well, when he got there, he was horribly unhappy. He didn't like all the training and all the rules. And so he started to look for a way to get out. One day they were going to do a show, a parade in front of the generals. And he was told the dress code was that he had to wear white gloves and a white belt. So the troops all gathered to parade before the general, and can you guess what he was wearing? White gloves and a white belt, and that was all he had on. Just white gloves and a white belt. Well, needless to say, the people in command weren't very impressed, and so he got what he wanted, and he was asked to leave West Point. I say all this to say this. When there are times that you face that try the soul, what do you put on for those kinds of times? What do you wear for the times when we feel like we're under spiritual attack? There are times where being faithful is easy, where you pray and automatically, right away, you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you read the scriptures and you feel like the words are speaking right directly to your life. When you make a hard decision and almost immediately you find some confirmation that that was the right decision. Or you share your faith and people want to know more about Jesus. But then there are other times where being faithful is just hard. You pray and you feel like even the Lord isn't listening. You read the Bible and the words in there just seem to be confusing. You make a hard decision and things only seem to get harder. You share your faith and it only seems to turn people off. There are times where being faithful can be a battle. What do you put on when you feel like you're under spiritual attack? You know that the New Testament starts out with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then after that, there's the book of Acts. And after the book of Acts, there's a series of letters or the epistles with names like Romans and Galatians and Corinthians. One of those epistles is a book called Ephesians. I actually have a theory that it's more of a sermon than a letter, but people argue over that kind of thing. The first half of Ephesians talks about the nature of God. It talks about how God is a God of love and grace and salvation who wants to give us an inheritance. And part of that inheritance is revealing the mystery of who he is, which he's done in Jesus Christ. The second half of Ephesians is about how we ought to live as a result of that. It talks about how we're all different. We've all been given different gifts. We ought to live as children of the light. And then the very last chapter is mostly devoted to this idea about putting on the armor of God. I've noticed that when folks face trying times, sometimes it makes people better, and sometimes it completely destroys them. Have you ever noticed that? Some people can go through difficult times, and it just makes them more persistent or more patient or more humble. Other people can go through difficult times, and it just rips them completely apart. What's the difference? What's the difference between the two? I think a part of the difference is whether you have faith. The Apostle Paul knew a lot about Roman soldiers. He'd spent a lot of time in jail. In the very last verse, it says here that he is a prisoner in chains, which probably means that he had one arm chained to something that would make sure he didn't move, and the other arm probably chained to a Roman soldier, which means that he knew what it is that Roman soldiers wore. Here's what's amazing to me about that idea. If I were chained to somebody, I think I'd see them as my enemy. I'd be doing whatever I could to want to get away from them and to see reasons to hate them. But do you see what he does here? He sees this Roman soldier not as an enemy, but as an example. Would you be able to do that? And here's the example that he sees in the Roman soldier. He says, being faithful is kind of like a soldier reporting for duty. And there are six things that he says are essential that we put on. First, he says, put on the belt of, do you remember? The belt of truth. In the book of Acts, there's a story about the apostle Peter, who's also in prison. And when he's in prison, suddenly there's this angel that shows up. The angel makes the what's holding him in his wrists suddenly break free. And when he gets up and he finds himself suddenly free, the first thing the angel says is for him to fasten the belt around his waist. The belt is the first thing you put on, and it is the bare minimum. If you wear nothing else, even Edgar Allan Poe wore the belt. So, for living faithfully, what is the bare minimum that we need to wear, that we need to put on? Fasten the belt of truth. If nothing else, one thing you can always be is truthful. George Brock once said, "Truth exists, only falsehood has to be invented." Jesus doesn't promise that things will be easy. He doesn't promise that we'll get what we want all the time. He does promise that if we will seek, we will find, and the truth will set you free. Put on the belt of truth. Second, he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate on a soldier would be the part that goes right up front. It's the part that keeps the most vulnerable parts of our body safe. The throat, the heart, the lungs. What is righteousness? Well, if truth is the ability to know the difference between right and wrong, righteousness, I think, is the ability to act on that truth. When we fail to act on what we know to be true, our faith becomes vulnerable. If you keep reading past the book of Ephesians, one of the other sets of letters you get to is the letter of James. And James deals with this question of righteousness, I think, better than anywhere else. He talks about the relationship between faith and action. And even goes so far as to say faith without works is, you probably know this verse, dead. For the next 3 weeks beyond this, incidentally, we're going to do a kind of a mini-series on the book of James. We're going to spend 3 weeks talking about what it says in the book of James, about how to make faith and works work together. My problem with righteousness is often when I try to do the right thing, I also realize how much farther there is to go. And so the more I try to do the right thing, the further I find I need to go in doing the right thing. I'm smart enough to know that I could do a better job, but not always smart enough to know what that better job would look like. For example, some time ago I was meeting with a family who had recently had a death in the family, and I didn't know the family real well, and so I decided I probably wanted to dress like I looked like I knew what I was doing. But when I went to my closet, usually I've got nice pressed white shirts. My wife will tell you most of my closet is white shirts. But on this occasion, I didn't have any nice pressed white shirts. They were all wrinkly. And I was in kind of a hurry. So you know what I did? I found the one that was the least wrinkly and ironed just the front of it. I figured I'll put a jacket on and no one will know the difference, right? I showed up with the family and no sooner did I get in the door when guess what they asked me to do? Would you like to take off your jacket? Some of us do a pretty good job of looking good up front. But what if we really want to be ready? What do we need to put on then? The Apostle Paul says, as a breastplate, put on righteousness. Third, he says, put on shoes that will make you ready to proclaim the gospel. The important thing about shoes is that they are ready to proclaim the gospel. I wondered as I was reading this whether maybe Paul had read the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, because in the 52nd chapter there, the prophet Isaiah says these words. He says, "How beautiful are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says, 'Your God reigns.'" Do you kind of see the echo of what Ephesians is saying in the words from Isaiah? Why is that important? Well, some people are a whole lot better at having trouble follow them. Do you know anybody like that? There's a story about a knight who came in late one evening to the castle. He was just a wreck. This knight had his helmet was all kind of a tilt. His breastplate was all banged up. He was bloody and he was bruised and he looked like he'd been through a war. And the lord of the castle greeted him and said, "Dear Sir Knight, man, what happened to you?" And the knight said, "Oh, sire, I've been fighting all your enemies to the east." Lord of the castle paused for a moment. He thought and he said, "But wait a minute. I don't have any enemies to the east." To which the knight said, well, you do now. So what's the alternative? What's the alternative to bringing trouble wherever we go? Bring peace. Put on shoes and proclaim a gospel of peace. Shoes just don't keep our feet protected. They also keep us moving forward. How do we keep moving forward in making the world a better place to live? Proclaim the gospel of peace. Fourth, put on the shield of faith so that you can withstand the flaming arrows of the evil one, they say. And I wondered what was going on there. And here's what I think is going on. Early on, they made shields out of wood. And then they started covering the wood shields with either cloth or with leather, which worked fine against arrows. But pretty soon folks realized that if you shoot flaming arrows, then the whole thing tends to burn up real quickly. And so what Roman legions learned that they needed to do was before they went into battle, they'd take their wooden shields that were covered with leather and they'd soak them in water. And if they were soaked in water, then they found that they were better able to repel flaming arrows. So what's the message in that? The message, I think, is that we need to not only have the tools to fight the problems of the devil, but also we need to know how to use them. For example, the Bible can be a wonderful shield of faith. It has stories in it about how other people have dealt with the problems they faced, but you kind of got to know how to use it, right? Even the devil can quote the Bible, and so we've got to know how to use it wisely. So if someone is getting married, for example, they probably will not turn to verses from Ephesians about putting on the whole armor of God. They're probably more likely to turn to words like, for example, from 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, love is patient and kind and not jealous or boastful or arrogant or rude. If somebody has just found out that they're sick, that's probably not a good time to talk to them about the second coming of Christ. That's probably a better time to talk about stories of Jesus' healing people. If someone has just experienced a death in their family, that's probably not a good time to talk about the need for a repentance. It's probably a better time to talk about something like the promise of eternal life and of heaven. Fifth, put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. What does salvation mean? I think it means knowing that no matter what it is that we're facing, we can trust that God has our souls in His eternal care. And doesn't that mean then that we ought to be able to have confidence? Because we know that whatever the future holds, we know how it's going to all end up. It's just a matter of knowing how we're going to get there. There's a story about Queen Victoria. When she ruled over England, she had daughters. And as the daughters got older, they wanted to dress like all the other young girls were dressing. So supposedly they went one day to Queen Victoria and said, we want to dress in the newest, trendiest fashions. You know what Queen Victoria said to them? She said, no, you can't do that because you're children of the Queen. And the children of the Queen don't follow fashion. You know what they do? They establish fashion. I think that's a good message for us as Christians too. We don't need to follow the fads. We don't need to keep up with the world. Because we already have what we most need. We have the salvation of God. We've read the last page. And here's a spoiler alert. If you haven't gotten there yet, you know who wins in the end? God wins in the end. What if we faced all the challenges in our lives as if we'd already won? As if the most important battle, the battle for the salvation of our souls, had already been fought because Christ died on the cross. The eternal fate of our souls is secure. Now it's just a matter of figuring out how we're going to get there. Sixth, winding down here, put on the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Hebrews 4:22 says something very similar. It says, indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In other words, we have permission to go on the offensive. Notice I didn't say to be offensive. I said to go on the offensive. We have permission to step out in faith. I like the story about the coach who is trying, college football coach, who is trying to equip his recruiters to look for the right people to be on the team. And his advice in looking in trying to teach his recruiters was to say, here's what I want you to do when you go out and look for athletes. I want you to look for the guy that gets knocked down. And so the recruiter thought, he's looking for people that can take the knocks. And the coach went on to say, no, I want you to look for the guy that gets knocked down and then gets back up. And the recruiter thought, oh, you're looking for the person that can take the knocks and not stay down, that gets back up. And then the coach said, no, I want you to look for the guy that gets knocked down and then gets up and then gets knocked down again. He said, oh, you're looking for the person that's persistent. And the coach said, no, I want you to look for the guy that gets knocked down and gets back up and gets knocked down and gets back up and gets knocked down and gets back up. And then look for the guy that's knocking him down. That's the guy that I want. We have permission to be persistent, to step out in faith, to start conversations that you might not have otherwise, to talk about God and who He is to you, to go on the offensive. But before you get offensive, make sure that what you're talking about is in the Spirit, that it's the Spirit at work. Make sure you're well grounded in the Word of God. And always remember that the will of God will not ever take you where the grace of God will not protect you. Fight the good fight. Put on the belt of truth. Fight the good fight. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Fight the good fight. Put on shoes that will carry forth the gospel of peace. Fight the good fight. Put on the shield of faith. Fight the good fight. Put on the helmet of salvation. And make sure you've got the sword of the Spirit.